Go ahead. Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Okay, say yeah, Dave.
Whatever.
Whatever, Dave.
It's the Whatever, Dave Radio Network, wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
Fellas, it's been a minute.
Whatever, Dave.
Has it, though?
Yeah, just a minute.
Whatever, Dave.
Actually, it has been a shorter turnaround because all of us have better things to do this week.
Wow!
So we're getting this done early. No. It is, which is good because there's going to be some Supreme Court decisions coming down this week. And by the time Thursday comes around, this country's going to be at each other's throats. And it's just going to be, it'd just be awkward to do a fun, carefree podcast like this.
We know where your priorities lie, Michael.
Yeah. Another thing I can't tell if it's real or if it's fake is
I can't believe it's not butter.
Right. And the Maury lie detector test says that that is indeed not butter. But Vince McMahon, founder and CEO of the World Wrestling, well, it used to be the World Wrestling Federation before they were sued by panda bears. The WWE has stepped down because it turned out that some hush money that he was paying to a mistress came to light.
Wow.
And Rich, you may know who this guy is. Remember when you were in that phase where you wanted everyone to be fired who minorly inconvenienced you?
Oh, yeah.
And then I showed you that YouTube video of that guy just going, screw you. Yeah, you're fired.
I like that guy.
Right.
Well, that was Vince McMahon.
Yeah, allegedly. Well, I saw it on ESPN. He was stepping down from the WWE because he paid off a mistress.
Uh-oh.
But Vince McMahon has been like the worst villain on TV since Stone Cold Steve Austin was top of the heat before Dwayne The Rock Johnson was Hollywood royalty. So I can't tell if this is real or a bit. Because then I hear he comes out on at the beginning of SmackDown and just says, this is SmackDown, and that's it. So
I think it could be shtick, huh?
Well, I saw it on ESPN, but, I mean, maybe ESPN was taking it for a ride. I don't know.
They've been duped.
First of all, he pays $5 million to his alleged mistress, who was apparently legal counsel who worked for the company that he apparently allegedly had an affair with.
She should have advised against the affair, though,
over
legal counsel.
$5 million over 3 years, but it's his own money. Who cares? I don't understand this at all.
Well, and anybody who watched the Austin McMahon feud saw Vince McMahon do way worse on television. So, I mean, compared to the character he's been portraying since the late 90s, paying a mistress off with a few million dollars seems kind of tame.
It's not like he took company money and did it. He took it was his own.
It wasn't embezzled, was it?
Who cares? Yeah. No, it was his own money.
Okay.
Like, I don't care.
It's his own business, yeah.
Just have Stone Cold drive to his office in a Zamboni, give him a stunner, and then let's move on with our lives.
That would be something.
Yeah.
And then give the proceeds to his ex-wife.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Linda.
Are they still married?
Yeah, they're still married.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, at that point,
is it Linda Carter?
No.
Linda McMahon.
It's Linda McMahon.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. at that point, when you're that old and have that much money, you know, you're just waiting. You're just waiting to put one of them in a nursing home. So at that point, why get divorced and start over?
Oh. Hey, he makes a good point.
Yeah, I'm a hopeless romantic. you know what, though? Something that is real. And I did not.
Israel.
Dave
is Jewish.
Is real. Well, it does have to do with Dave.
Really?
Yes. We didn't get to it last week, but Dave has some disturbing habits when it comes to going to the doctor's office.
Oh.
And it's time for an intervention that we let Dave know that what he does at the doctor's office is not normal and not okay. So, Dave, why don't you tell us? Why don't you tell us your quote-unquote secret to not being at the doctor's office for too long?
Well, let me just preface this
by
saying
everyone will know,
I don't find this to be weird at all.
Just what a psychopath you really are.
So I usually always will only make an appointment with the doctor that is the first or second appointment of the day.
Okay, so far makes sense.
Yeah, that's not bad.
When I get to the office and I check in, and I'm in the waiting room, for every 15 minutes that I'm sitting in that waiting room, I will go back up to the front and say, my appointment time was this time. All
right. Okay. All right. Minorly annoying, okay. But
because I don't want to sit there forever.
Not the worst thing I've ever heard. All right.
Then when you go into the office, they always do the standard wait. Then they take, the nurse takes you in, you know, a couple questions, and then leaves. And when the nurse leaves and says the doctor will be in soon, I say, please leave the door open. And they say, well,
making
it's our
list of demands.
Well, it's our policy to have the door closed.
Right, come on, Dave. That's okay. A HIPAA violation.
And that's fine. I then open the door.
What?
Stand in the doorway.
Oh, my God. This and is where
stare,
it gets bad.
And stare at the desk where the nurse is sitting so they don't forget me.
Dave, you can't do that.
Why
Dave?
Not? Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
So you just stand in the doorway, leering at the front office,
yes.
Making everyone uncomfortable.
Yes.
Has anyone ever called security or the police?
No.
On you? Well,
no.
You're lucky.
No, they don't listen. My time is just as important as the doctor's time. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in there. And I'm the first appointment, and I hear the doctor in his office dictating patients from the day before. That is why he gets behind. You need to handle that on the day before and not make me late.
You know, every single time that you wait at the doctor's office because he's dictating. What if he's like giving someone a terrible diagnosis or something?
Well, let me just tell you, I have interviewed the doctor, and the new way that the new way they do things is they don't even dictate anymore. They make the doctors put in the information in the computer while they're in the room with you. And the doctor told me that he sees 20% less patients per day because he has to take the time.
Because some weirdo is standing in the doorway making his nurses uncomfortable.
I want to know why you think that my time is not as important as your time.
So what kind of reaction do you get when you're standing in the doorway?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Nothing.
They just won't.
That staff.
Yeah, of course
there?
They won't. Okay. They won't forget about me. Here's
the
thing.
Him.
You know they shut the door and they have the little plastic little things they pull out to show you that the patient's there. They forget about you. They forget about you. You know, you might be right. What if somebody comes in and they have a something that they feels more important than you?
Or
know?
What if say this, Dave? The doctor is feeling around somebody's lymph nodes, and they miss a suspicious bump because a nurse comes in and says, "Excuse me,
there's a man peering in at us.
This bearded man in Denver in Denver Broncos garb is making us really uncomfortable." And so he finishes up with the patient a little quicker than he normally would, and they miss something, all because you wanted to shave 15 minutes off your doctor's appointment.
I hate to say it. It's probably happened.
Yeah. Let me get this straight.
How many people have Dave...
How many people have you killed?
Yeah. Let me get this straight. You think that the nurse is going into the doctor's while he's giving an exam and saying, you need to hurry up because this guy is making us nervous?
Because, Dave, we know you as the lovable, cuddly Dave, but... you're a very large man with a beard and resting bitch face. So
I'm telling
you, I can see you being very intimidating to someone who doesn't know you, and you're just standing there in the doorway, not saying anything.
I'm telling you,
staring at the nurses. It's very unsettling.
First of all, I'm telling you right now.
Oh,
I'm telling you right now. This works.
No. Yeah, for you.
This works. Oh. You should try it.
How many people have you killed?
We're doing a podcast with the Angel of Death.
Yeah, this
what I'm
works.
Called Whatever Angel of Death.
This is a foolproof way to not waste your half a day sitting at the doctor's office when they come in, finally, after you've been sitting there for an hour, give you a 5-minute checkup, and then you leave.
Go ahead, Richard.
You're not afraid of an unconscious bias, like they will misdiagnose you, like just... unconsciously because they're annoyed by you. You're not afraid by that. Afraid of that.
That's called a lawsuit.
Do you
it's
ever
called malpractice? Right. What are you talking about?
Do you ever?
How could you prove it though?
Right.
First of all, okay. All right,
Dave.
Look.
Do you ever find that you go to a doctor and after you're done staring his nurses down for a half hour, next time you go, they magically no longer take your insurance?
Wow. No, but can I tell you how nice I've been to my doctor? I've brought doctor gifts.
Oh, that's nice.
When my doctor said that he was having trouble getting an AM signal in his office, I got him a special radio for his office.
That went right in the trash because
it is still sitting in his office.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. All right. So, all right.
So what you do is you terrorize these people and then you try to buy them off with gifts.
I just don't have the time to be spending sitting there. I'm a very important person and I don't have the time for this. It might only be to myself, but I am a very important person.
Okay. Typical doctor's day.
Yeah.
What was the last time you went to the doctor? Do you remember what you did after the appointment?
Right. I went and played golf. What did you have?
Right.
I had a tea time to get to.
Oh, okay.
So,
All right.
So you say you interviewed the doctor. It sounds more like you grilled the doctor. What were the circumstances leading up to
I wanted to know what the ratio of patients were from when he used to dictate and then the person used to type up his notes to now he's got to do it himself. And he agreed with me. He goes, yes. He goes, it's tough because I can't see as many patients because I got to spend the time inputting the data that I used to dictate and pay somebody to do this.
Okay. Well,
so it's just made it harder on the doctors with more patients to be seen 20% less per day. And then you're just sitting there for a longer period of time. I can't tell you how many times I took my grandmother to the doctor, sat there for hours.
Well, look, speaking of taking too much time, we spent entirely too much time talking about this, but I'm glad that we got it out there.
And to clear the air.
So that everyone could hear what a monster Dave is.
I don't feel that I'm a monster, and I think that the people that listen to whatever Dave would be on my side.
Well,
they probably would be like, this is a great idea.
If you are in the medical community or you're just a patient who would like thorough medical care without another patient hassling them, please email Dave at david.rieger@cumulus.com and let him know how wrong he is.
I have a friend who works in the medical profession. I'm going to ask this friend what this person thinks of what I do, and then I will report back.
Your friend isn't yourself in the mirror.
No, it's not.
You know what? Actually, yes, because we have about a week and a half till the next whatever, Dave. So go ahead and report back.
I will report back. You guys are going to feel so stupid when the person who works in the medical profession be like, wow, that's impressive.
No, that's more impressive stupid than I do, contributing to this program.
Your friend will say, please lose this number. All right, Dave, let's jump into your stack of stuff here.
All right. First story comes from the great state of Indiana.
Wow.
I know, Rich, you're a big fan.
The Hoosiers.
So exactly. Very good.
Wow.
So
go fighting Larry Bird.
An Indiana woman tracked her boyfriend using an Apple AirTag device over a suspected affair. Then after a dispute, ran him over and killed him.
Holy smokes. These Apple tags, they are a scourge. They are a menace.
According to a probable cause affidavit obtained by USA Today, 26-year-old Galen Morris told the witness she had used an AirTag to follow her boyfriend, Andre Smith, to a bar in Indianapolis. At the location, Morris and Smith were seen getting into a heated dispute when Morris swinging an empty wine bottle towards the other woman Smith was with, prompting the bar owner to ask them to leave.
Mm.
According to court records, Morris then got into her car outside the bar and clipped Smith, causing him to fall to the ground.
Wow!
After he had fallen, Morris next backed over Smith, then pulled forward and hit him for a third time.
Wow.
Morris then got out of the car and attempted to chase after the other woman before being detained by police who had arrived at the scene.
So she killed the guy, then she chased after the person.
Exactly.
That he was,
yeah. Oh my goodness. And this was all prompted by tracking him because of the Apple AirTag.
These Apple AirTags are bad news. I mean, it's been on the news that car thieves will troll a parking lot and they'll find a car they like, put an Apple AirTag on it, then go steal it from out in front of people's house.
Whoa.
There's been women who have been stalked using these. And now this.
What is it exactly? Can you describe it?
Dave probably.
So what it is it's a little circular, almost like a little magnet. It's like a little tag. And what it originally was made for was to put on your wallet or keys.
Right.
So if you lost them, you could track them.
Okay.
Well, like what people are doing, all good things get ruined by people. It's all fun and games until you got to go and stalk somebody.
Right. Well, and I think there is
good advice.
There is some kind of a way that you could check if you're being
correct. So according to the story, Apple has now installed new safety measures to notify people how to navigate unwanted tracking.
Mm.
Okay. The AirTag was designed, according to Apple, to help people locate their personal belongings, not to track people or other another person's property. Right. And Apple condemns in the strongest possible terms any malicious use of their product.
Gotcha.
Because you could find out that someone's tracking with an Apple tag. Like, you could be in your car, but you might not know where the Apple tag is. Right. And it's not like you want to pull over to the side of the road and look for it, because whoever put it on your car or in your purse or in your jacket or whatever could be following you.
Sure.
Right.
So
that's why you throw it into a river or something.
Yeah. Just drive that thing in a river. I probably would drive to maybe like a local police precinct.
So it is a little physical disc.
Yeah. It's like a little circle. It's like a little circular magnet sort of that goes into your wallet or keys or anything that you might, you know, lose. And then you can track it and you can find it. But of course, other people have been using it
for nefarious deeds.
You know, exactly.
Right. Well, Dave, that's very good life-saving advice.
I mean, that's the second story that I've told that is, you know,
right.
It's pretty good today. You know,
you do say so yourself.
All right. Here you go.
Hey, Dave.
Here, stop it. Yeah, hit the you suck drop. Go ahead.
Just, Dave, okay. You suck.
There we go. All right.
Dave knows the drill.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay. Go, next topic.
So this story is a little concerning and a little weird.
Oh.
It's Mark Zuckerberg, if you're familiar with his work, the creator of the Facebook.
Right.
He's been designing.
Thank you for that.
Rich is a much bigger fan of Tom from MySpace.
Oh, I love that.
All right,
guy.
Okay. Well, Zuckerberg has been designing clothes for you to wear in the metaverse, including a formal gray suit.
Wow.
So what he's doing is he's creating these fashion stuff and luxury outfits that you can wear like in your like the metaverse, wow. But like it, like your
how
like
fun.
Your like your emoji.
Oh.
And they're selling these things.
Wow.
If I'm in the metaverse, I want to wear the Batman suit.
Oh, that'd be cool, man.
Or like the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Yeah, it says that users will be able to purchase digital swag for their avatars to wear while exploring the expanding metaverse. So
how do I get it? I mean,
who's paying for your avatar to be dressed in some Prada or Tom Brown or, you know,
people do that like on The Sims, don't they?
I mean, I guess
we have to we should get Danielle, our Sims expert, on.
Yeah.
One day.
It says here that avatars
on the horn here.
Avatars will be as common as profile pictures today. But instead of the static image, they're going to be living 3D representations of you, your expressions and your gestures.
I want to get in on this metaverse. However, I can't afford the accoutrement.
No,
you need don't you need like a little virtual reality thing?
Yeah.
It says here that Zuckerberg wants people to get really excited about the new avatar skins and the merch, but it's the brands that should be really getting excited because
they can sell everything for pure profit.
Pure profit.
There's
no overhead cost.
They're moving no product.
There's no possibility of overstocking, and they can reuse old designs that are rebranded as digital. Hmm.
Dave, you are always up on the newest gadgets. I think you need to get into this metaverse to let us know what it's all about.
Yeah, go in the metaverse for us, Dave.
Are there like chat rooms like when the internet first started?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really sure, but we're going to have to look into this.
Right. Like, because you'll hear people like harassing other people in the metaverse or like, and I'm like, where are they meeting in the metaverse? Are there like metaverse chat rooms or metaverse cafes? And, everyone says that the metaverse is going to be like the new email.
It says here that social media,
like you're going to use it in your everyday life. I just don't know what that's going to look like. But when I first heard of the internet, you know, I had no idea how that was going to be integrated into our everyday life. And now, you know, it's like another appendage. So
it says you're going to have a wardrobe of virtual clothes for different occasions designed by different creators from different apps and experiences.
Right.
The company has invested $10 billion into metaverse development.
It's not that much, really.
You don't think so?
You know what? You know what's going to suck in the metaverse? When instead of having like a Zoom meeting where you can just turn your camera and your microphone off, you're all going to meet in the metaverse and you can't mute yourself in the metaverse.
Oh, that's going to be off. I'm getting anxiety already.
It says here that the Zuckerberg didn't comment on concerns experts have raised about the metaverse. The virtual world is said to pose many dangers.
Right.
What dangers? Anxiety. I don't know.
Yeah.
The billionaire also hasn't revealed who he thinks will be buying his virtual clothes.
Hmm.
But he's personally doing much of the heavy lifting to make sure the metaverse feels real and important.
I'm gonna say something that's probably gonna age very terribly.
Good.
Like the old Today Show footage where from like 1995 when they're all trying to figure out what the heck the internet is. But I feel like Mark Zuckerberg is trying to oversell the metaverse here. I mean, to me, it sounds like a great place to maybe play some video games. It's a step above Wii Tennis. And
I'm not so sure I understand what these dangers are going to be.
Maybe there's some metaverse porn that, let's be honest, porn is the driver of all technology. I mean, YouTube, streaming video, all that stuff. So I'm sure porn's going to find a way to use it. But like, I don't know. Are we all going to just be sitting in our house and all of our social interactions are like, okay, Rich, let's go. Let's put on our metaverse goggles and meet at the metaverse mall,
for instance,
and get some metaverse Sbarros.
On the last episode of Whatever, Dave, you were complimenting Rich on his attire.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I could see you being at your home and Rich being at his home, and you would be complimenting him on his attire in the metaverse.
Yeah.
Which he just purchased.
Which I like and don't like.
Online.
Yeah.
It would be cool to be able to, like, hang out without leaving your house, but it would also suck to never leave your house. You know what I'm saying?
Especially after a pandemic.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, maybe a metaverse is going to be very...
I think this is like the perfect time for this, don't you? Because we're used to being stuck at home.
Oh, maybe.
So I think he's capitalizing on what we got used to.
Yeah.
That could be, David.
But I still think people are going to want to get out of their house and like... it might be cool for like, I can see like the NFL or like Major League Baseball, like doing something with the metaverse where, you know, you can watch the game that way and feel like you're on the field or something.
I could see like metaverse parties.
Yeah.
Where you all get together and you dress up your avatars.
You know, I am a ghoster at a party. It's a very overwhelming thought for me when I'm leaving a party to have to say goodbye to everyone, especially like, oh, you're leaving already. You know, you get the hassle. So if I'm at a metaverse party and I want to leave, I'll just be like, I'll just like dip and be like, okay, my battery died. Sorry, y'all.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Lost Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, okay. We'll see. Like I said, what I'm saying about the metaverse might look really stupid in 20 years, but then again, we may all be dead. Next topic!
I kind of feel that this next story kind of reminds me of Rich.
Oh.
And I think that this could be you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm your muse for so many things.
You are, yes.
Everything reminds him of Rich. I hear his name in the wind.
a real-life castaway... gave up being a millionaire stockbroker.
Wow.
And to live on a deserted island with two female mannequins.
Wow.
Okay, so that reminded you of me.
Yeah.
It did.
Take us through that, Dave.
Dave
Glashier. No, not the story.
No.
Take us through why that reminded you of Rich.
It just did. I just kind of feel like I read this story and I kind of feel like this
on
could,
an
this
island.
Is, yeah, this is Rich
with two mannequins.
Yeah,
for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
you know, if this guy's got metaverse money, he could just do this virtually from his mansion.
Well, this guy, David Glashier, 78, has been living on Restoration Island off the coast of North Queensland since 1997.
Cool,
but his life of solitude is getting a little bit risky because he's getting older.
And his mannequins are breaking down.
It says, after his fortune and home was lost in the 1987 Black Tuesday crash.
Wow.
He ditched the high life in Sydney, Australia, and moved to Cape York Peninsula in the 90s.
Hmm.
But as he nears closer to turning 80, David admits it's going to be harder to lead a companionless existence.
It's harder now than
his body is starting to change.
Right.
And as his days,
that's what happens when you're 80.
And as his days go on, his life in solitude could pose a problem.
Gotcha.
As his health takes a turn.
Right. He might need some help.
Right. So he's going to have
angels.
Right. He's going to boat the visiting angels out to this. He's going to have to move into a retirement community for active seniors.
So David is appealing for some company to join him in his secluded lifestyle.
Wait, so the mannequins, or the mannequins already there?
No, the mannequins are there. He's looking for some real people, but he can't find anyone who's willing to commit to the change of pace. He can't afford to pay a full salary, but he thinks a middle-aged couple may be most appropriate, who have skills to help on the island and receive some stipends.
Hmm.
So maybe you're not the guy that's out there, but maybe you and someone can go and be with this guy on this island.
Rick, do you have to live there, or do you just like show up for an 8-hour day and go home?
It says that
I would take that job as long as I don't have to like bathe them.
He has solar internet connection. He has books and two mannequins, and their names are Miranda and Phyllis for company.
Okay.
And
this guy will, this guy's definitely going to murder whoever comes out to this island.
Yeah.
Do not take this job.
He does a yearly grocery shop, and he's collected a stockpile of tinned and dried goods, but he relies on his, he's a hunter and a gatherer. So he collects bush cherries, plums,
you don't hear
native characters, coconuts,
and
beach almonds.
Do we have a picture of this guy?
Yeah, it was in the, I didn't print it out.
Modern hunters.
He kind of looks like Tom Hanks in Castaways.
Yeah, that's
beard.
What I'm picturing.
He says it's like living in Jurassic Park.
Cool.
He says he's
not making any of this sound more appealing.
He says that he has plenty of time to reflect on his first half of his life as a city slicker, and he believes he understands why people can struggle.
Hmm.
And, you know, so he's looking for, you know, some people to come and kind of help him out, because he said he took a fall, he broke a hip, and it's hard being.
Well, maybe it's time you come back to the mainland.
Get some medical attention.
Well,
yeah.
My question is, do you think that he's been gone since 97? Do you think that he could? It would almost be like coming, like a person in the military coming back from like to real life
to reassemble into a society,
right?
Assimilate.
Right. So he's got solar internet and he's been there since 1997.
Yes.
So he must have been an early adapter of the internet.
Yeah.
Wonder what kind of computer he's running.
I'm not sure what type of PC or Mac that he has on the island.
I mean, that's gotta be 50. That's gotta be right. 56K.
Cool.
But
he spends his day playing Minesweeper in that pinball
Rich,
game.
Do you want to go live the life of an isolated individual on an island in, you know, Australia somewhere?
The seclusion sounds nice, but I would like to have access to medical attention if I needed it.
I mean, here's the thing.
And I love eating. I can't hunt and gather. I love paying for food.
I see these commercials for these great senior communities, and I am so mad I can't move in yet because they got like tennis courts.
Oh, yeah.
They got these walking trails.
Walk-in bathtubs, too.
Oh, man. Don't even get me started on how much I want a walk-in bathtub.
I know. You've talked about it before.
They got 7 a.m. water aerobics.
I wouldn't like that. You'd be into that?
Look, I need a low-impact way to start exercising every muscle of my body.
You ever heard of a recumbent bike?
What in the hell is a recumbent bike?
No, that sounds obscene.
I like it, though. That's the kind of thing that gets you in trouble in the metaverse.
I would say, right.
Maybe.
I would say to this guy, spend a week at Fox Run in Novi or Magnolia by the lake.
So you want to tell this guy who's been off the coast of Australia on this deserted island, come to Fox Run Novi.
Yes.
Play some pickleball.
Or Fox Run Queensland, Australia, whatever they have over there.
And you think that will help them?
Try it for a month. And then if you want to go back to your little island, your two plastic girlfriends can come too. You don't have to leave them behind. Yeah, you know, because we don't want a Wilson type situation.
He probably has to use those mannequins as like crutches.
Right.
Did you guys ever see the movie Mannequin?
No. No, we haven't.
It's a good movie.
Dave, are you just trying to ask us dumb questions now because of the reaction you got from us a couple weeks ago?
No, I believe he really does enjoy the film Mannequin.
No, it was a good movie.
I'd like to watch it with you.
Yes. Here's the thing about
Here's the
thing about watching movies with you and Michael.
Yeah.
Ever since the
last one,
was an epic fail.
Yeah.
Although that's not true. The last one was good. We're talking about the one before.
Okay.
Lost Boys was very well received.
Well received.
Point Break, not so much.
Well, I mean, it's not well received. I mean, I've seen The Lost Boys millions of times before that one.
But I've gotten plenty of movies that I think Michael should be exposed to. But the problem with him is you never know how he's going to react.
All right. To relitigate this.
Isn't that part of the fun, though?
It's not my fault, Dave, that Keanu Reeves' character was a complete bumbling idiot in Point Break and got Gary Busey killed. Spoiler alert. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Anyway,
it's fine.
Next topic.
All right. This, I think, story, as much as Michael hates it when I do this, I think this is right up Michael's alley.
Oh, is this about Legos?
No, it's not. But I did see a story on ESPN before I came here about Legos and how they're helping children with cancer. So that's, I think, cool. You need to stop.
Very nice.
Throwing shade on Legos.
Very
okay?
nice. See, Dave, that's how you do a Lego story, a 30-second mention. All right.
Anyway, in honor of the annual Westminster Kennel Club dog show,
okay.
Google has dropped a pretty cute search feature.
Okay.
When fans search for Westminster dog show, they'll see a paw print in the left-hand corner that they can click. And from there, dog paws will reach across the screen and barks will ring out in excitement.
Cool.
Each click adds a new paw print to the screen. And then there's also a reset button.
Actually, Dave, this is very cute. Here, I'm going to try it here. Let me share my screen.
Please do.
Let's see. Share screen. I feel like I'm doing a Zoom meeting in the metaverse. All right. Type in Westminster. Wow. Dog show.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, look at a little paw. Oh my goodness.
That's cool.
I don't have my sound on, so we can't hear. Oh my good Dave, this is delightful.
Yes, I thought you'd like this.
You're still a massive weirdo for it. You do at the doctor's office, but this just brings glee to my heart.
Of course. I mean, it's just a cute little thing to end the show today.
It looks like a Go Bundy. You know, I have a niece won the Westminster Dog Show a couple years ago.
Good. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's about time.
Yeah.
And I know you're familiar with up at Mackinac.
Oh.
The game room where their dog Sadie was a winner of the Best in Show, which another good movie, by the way, Rich. Which I know you've liked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And seen,
I love Best in Show. I love all the Christopher Guest films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rich is I think Rich delivers the Christopher Guest lines better than Christopher Guest, but it's true. Speaking of movies, Dave, let's do something nice for one of our P1s who's been begging everyone to do this. Mr. Positive has been begging everyone to say something nice about the Elvis movie. Are you still embargoed about?
Yeah. We'll be talking about the Elvis movie the next episode.
Okay.
But you know, the fact that you mentioned Mr. Positive's name, he'll be over the moon.
Well, he's always sharing our episodes. Yeah. So I thought maybe we'd do something. Kind of something.
I did see the Elvis movie, okay. And I will give you my review on our next episode.
All right. So Dave will do that. Also, what are you reporting back to us on? I forgot already.
I will be reporting back to you on what my friend in the medical community feels about the way that I get. How I streamline the doctor's visit.
Gotcha. So we'll have the Elvis movie review from Dave. We'll have confirmation that he is in fact a sociopathic weirdo. And a short turnaround for this episode. We'll be back our normal night and time next week. So about a week and a half until our next episode. So thank you everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you in 11-ish days.
See ya.
Give or take. Bye.